The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It's 5 minutes after. Good morning, George. No está aquí. I'm John Calder. I run the Independence Institute. Please check us out at thinkfreedom.org. Thinkfreedom.org. Get on our mailing list at least. Just an email every now and then. Let you know what we're doing. Doing some fun things to try to keep Colorado, well, from turning into California. One of the many services we do is a news aggregating and individual reporting service called CompleteColorado.com. You need to go to CompleteColorado.com every single day. It kind of looks and drives like the Drudge Report, but it's all Colorado political news and views, great aggregation, and individual and unique stories. One of the things I've been most concerned about, and Complete has been most concerned about, is the growing amount of gun laws in Colorado. This all falls on the feet of our libertarian governor, who says he loves the Second Amendment, but yet signed a bill that took away state preemption. What that meant was that before, cities couldn't come up with their own gun laws and outlaw this here and that there and this here, because it creates patchwork all over the state, and you don't know if you're committing a crime just by walking across the street or driving across the street with a gun in your car. So now cities can do their own stuff. I will soon be a criminal in Boulder because of their anti-gun laws. They will say, oh, we don't like that mean-looking gun. You'll have to give it up. I won't give it up, so I'll become a criminal. I'm thrilled. Sherry Pipe is a reporter with CompleteColorado.com, and she has had the unenviable job of trying to keep up with all these different local gun laws. Hey, Sherry, thanks for spending some time with me. I appreciate it. Good morning.
Morning, John. You bet. Anytime. Yeah, you know. It's definitely been every week it's one more city.
Well, and it started out with, what was it in the open space or the Parks and Rec Department near Jefferson County? They were going to outlaw concealed carry on their open spaces, which is vast. If it wasn't for your reporting on that, they would have gotten away with it.
Yeah, they looked into that almost immediately after that bill was passed. That's been well over a year now, and they were the first one to attempt to do it. We were able to thwart that attempt, but then in the meantime, we've had the city of Boulder has decided to take up. They've teamed up with Moms Demand Action and Every Town for Gun Safety and the Giffords Center to craft a bunch of legislation that they've kind of spread out to all the communities in the Denver Metro Boulder area. And they're talking with a bunch of different city council members, a lot of the time under the radar. A lot of these city council members that are working with the city of Boulder haven't even informed their other city council members that they're doing that. And that's
they're working with the city of Boulder. Help me understand that. So these council members are working with anti-gun groups without the rest of the council knowing.
Yeah. So the city of Boulder, the city council administrator, Taylor Ryman, kind of put a group together of one or two city council members from Fort Collins, Lafayette, Louisville, Lyons, all around the area, Broomfield, Edgewater, Westminster, you name it, they're probably in there. She put together this group of folks, and they started looking at resolutions that were crafted by Every Town for Gun Safety and the Giffords Center. And they would determine, they even crafted a press release that they would put out for all of their communities. They wanted all of these in place by early June. And many of the communities got that done. Boulder County, Louisville, Lafayette, Superior. They all have theirs in, or close to having theirs in place now. And Longmont is currently looking at it.
Was this like a shock and awe campaign, which was, all right, we're going to have, now that we passed this law that, that our libertarian governor signed, which opens up gun confiscation on a local level, that we'll get it all set, and then we'll just let it all loose, and before you know it, we'll have all these cities with all this anti-gun, anti-Second Amendment work out, and we will overrun them. There will not be enough time for pro-gun people to follow how much damage is going on in all these localities.
I think that's exactly what happened. And they started with the city of Edgewater. And I think the reason that they started with Edgewater is because it's this tiny little community. It's only like a mile square, has like 5,000 people in it, and it's got Denver, Lakewood, and Wheat Ridge surrounding it, abutting to it. And so they started with this little 5,000 community of Edgewater, and they wanted to put in things such as prohibiting open carry of guns, prohibiting licensed concealed carry in city-owned buildings, you know, concealed carry in daycare centers and preschools, banning ghost guns, all those, you know, waiting periods for firearms, all of these different things. And I think they did Edgewater first because Edgewater is this tiny little town that no newspaper pays attention to, you know. So who's going to know about it? They're just going to kind of sneak it through and boom, you're there. Once Edgewater has it, now all of these other communities can come back and go, well, we don't really like this patchwork thing. You know, Edgewater abuts to Denver and Lakewood and all these other places. Let's all now do it. And slowly but surely, you have all these communities in place, but none of the communities are passing the same exact restrictions is a big part of the problem, because you're going to be crossing in and out of communities and not know, okay, can I carry my gun into this park? Or, and also some of those parks cross counties, they cross cities. That was the problem in Jefferson County, is it crossed some of their parks, cross multiple jurisdictions. It is going to be a disaster, but that's exactly what they're trying to, what they tried to do. They tried to sneak up on people, get it in place. Nobody knew about it, but unfortunately for them, Complete Colorado has sources all across the state, and we've got people in Edgewater that are constantly watching that Edgewater City Council meeting, and it got spotted.
It got spotted, and because of your reporting on Complete, people showed up. They didn't expect people to show up at a planning session, and they showed up, and they curtailed some of the most onerous gun takings. But still, this is an avalanche of anti-gun activity throughout the state. And the strategy, you nailed it, which was, first, we pass a law that allows localities to pass their own gun ordinances. Then we get the crazier ones to start doing it. Then we get the ones that are next to it to start doing it. Then we create this huge patchwork saying you can't have so-called assault weapons, or you need a waiting period in order to get a gun, or whatever it is. And before you know it, it goes in the opposite direction. It goes, well, we have this weird patchwork of laws. Let's just clean it up on the state level and outlaw AR-15s throughout. That's the plan.
That's exactly the plan. And you've even seen it, or I've even seen it in, I can't remember if it was Lafayette or Louisville, Superior, one of those towns in Boulder County actually passed a resolution along with their patchwork of laws. They passed another resolution that says, hey, governor and state legislators, you know, we really appreciate you giving us this opportunity to do this, and we're going to do it, but we really don't like the patchwork that's going to take place, so you really need to take this up at the state. So, I mean, one of those communities, and I think it was Lafayette, actually blatantly said that. Please, can you just pass all these at the state level now so that we don't have to confuse our poor residents?
Well, you know, and what's beautiful is I live in Boulder. There are potholes throughout our neighborhood, but you know, the real plan is to disarm me. That's the goal. Mm-hmm. And I can't get away from the hatefulness of this. Boulder, which loves diversity and loves tolerance and celebrates different lifestyles, that's terrific, unless you're a gun owner. And then we hate you and we don't want you in our lily white bigoted town because your lifestyle is too perverse for us. You own these guns. Heaven forbid. Well,
and they all think they're doing it in the name of safety for schools. Every single meeting that I've been to, the Moms Demand Action Group and one or two of the city council members, because these are all communities that may have one or two moderate conservatives sitting on them or a conservative, an actual conservative. But for the most part, these are all communities that are extremely majority liberal. And so you'll get one or two council members, three council members, and the entire Moms Demand Action Group who talk that this has to be done to save our children. They honestly believe that if they pass these gun laws, that the bad people are going to say, oh, no, don't go into Louisville. We can't go shoot up the school in Louisville because they have gun laws, and we'll get arrested if we go into Louisville. I mean, that's what they're doing this in the name of. Everybody thinks that this will solve the school shooting problem.
Do I hear that there's even work happening in Longmont?
There is. And they were not actually even part of what's amazing to me is because Longmont is like almost in the heart of Boulder County. And they were not a part of the initial group of people. So I'm not sure what happened or how they got left out. But Longmont is now taking it up as well. Yes, they are.
Normally sane, or at least historically sane, now turning progressive, Longmont is going to take away guns.
Longmont will be interesting because a portion of Longmont falls into the Weld County side of the border. And it'll be interesting to see how the folks, and at the Longmont County, at the Longmont City Council meeting the other night, it was about 2-1 opposed to these regulations. And I will say the mayor did a really good job of keeping that meeting under control. She wouldn't
let people. When you say 2-1 against, are you talking about the people who were watching or the town council?
The people that were speaking out, the citizens of Longmont that were up speaking at, testifying, do not do this. So 2-1 against the new regulations. Even the ones that were there, and it was really interesting because they wanted you to list your name and your address. And they kept coming back and they kept telling people, tell us where you live. But the only time that they didn't remind people to tell them where they lived was when it was the Moms Demand Action folks. And so most of the people that were in favor of these laws were the Moms Demand Action who came in their T-shirts, their big red T-shirts that say Moms Demand Action. They gave their little sympathetic testimony about how they cried, and because none of the rest of anybody cried. I mean, the people that are opposed to these laws, they're all heartless and they don't care about what happened. But I don't think half of the people that testified in favor of these actually lived in the city of Longmont. It was the Moms Demand Action Group.
And nobody from the city council asked them to give their address?
No, in fact, it was interesting because one man came up and failed to give his address, and the mayor said, I need you to state your address. And he goes, well, then could you ask the woman that just spoke in front of me to give her address? And the mayor just kept saying, no, give me your address. You're up here now. Give me your address. And he's like, the woman that just spoke in front of me didn't give her address. So it was interesting. You could still see the little bit of bias that was coming through the city council members in how they addressed those people that were speaking.
And because it's amazing what you said about that. We've seen this in school board meetings as well, where students will come up and talk about the need for trans indoctrination, I'll use that term, in the school, and we'll find out later they don't even live in the school district. They get carted about to give their emotional, wonderful ideas of their astroturf. They don't live there.
And exactly, I think we're going to see more of it. We're going to see more of this with Moms Demand Action, because what we've seen to this point is when the city council meetings have taken place and people have spoken and testified, it has been 85, 90, 95% against the regulations. And maybe one or two people within the community will say, you know, no, please do this. We really do need this. And now as more and more as this goes on, every city council meeting that I've viewed, there are more and more moms demand action. So that's exactly what's going to start to happen. And we're going to see more of it. We're going to start to see moms demand action start to take over the city council meetings so that there's a representation there, a phony representation there of people within the community wanting these regulations.
And again, I just want to make it clear that our libertarian governor, I use that in finger quotes, none of this would happen if he didn't push this anti-gun law he signed into law that allows localities to take on this issue. Before that, we had state preemption. That is, lawmakers said this is a statewide interest, and if we're going to have a waiting period or we're going to outlaw magazines or we're going to do any such silliness, it should be done all over the state. That way we won't have this patchwork. And it's so obvious that he did the same thing with taxes for cigarettes and vaping bans. He did the same thing for minimum wage. He's now allowing localities to add to governmental burdens, that is to push for more gun laws, but he doesn't let localities reduce any gun laws. So the state
let localities reduce the bans on oil and gas.
Right.
He also will allow localities to, you know, to make more stringent laws when it comes to drilling, but he will not allow localities to go. I mean, it's a complete, I won't say the word that's been called, but that it's been called, but the idea of local control is the definition that the state leadership has for local control is completely off.
It's a ratchet. It's not local control. Mm-hmm. It's a ratchet. So we're not giving you control over gun laws. We're letting you ratchet in more gun laws, but we're not letting you ease up past the state laws. It's so transparent. This way, he doesn't have to say he's the guy who pushed for all the gun laws. He's just the guy who enabled it all. Complete Colorado and you, Sherry Pfeiffer, have just been doing a great job trying to keep up on all these local ordinances that are being done because they're not getting coverage in the press. They're not getting covered in the Post. They're not going to get covered because they're happening in too many places. What do you need from people? You need some help letting people know what's going on. What is it you need?
People need to just watch their local city council meetings. I mean, every city council has a website, and every city council website has a spot where they post their agendas for their upcoming meetings. Or if they are watching, you know, in some cities where there are local newspapers, people just need to be watching what's taking place in their city and really paying attention to the agendas on their city council. They always come out a few days before the actual meeting. If you notice something is not right, you need to just drop me an email, sherry@completecolorado.com. It's a real easy email. Drop me an email. Find me on social media. I'm all over the place. Let me know what's going on, and I'll look into it. I just need people to really pay attention to what's happening within their cities, because that's where I think I've heard you say it a lot of times. You know, the closer you are, the smaller the government and the closer it is to the people, the more easily it is corruptible. And that is why people have to be paying attention to what's happening within their own jurisdictions more so than what's going on in Washington, D.C.
So very true. And it's so sad to see that these Bloomberg groups come parachuting into your backyard to take away your guns. And the media doesn't do anything about it. The media doesn't report on it. You need to go to CompleteColorado.com. I believe you even have a tab up on the top that's just local gun issues, because this is becoming such an epidemic.
We do.
Good stuff.
Yep, and all the stories are there.
Sherry Pfeiffer, thank you so much. The work you do is just invaluable. So keep it up and try to keep me out of jail, if you would, please.
I will do. Thanks, John. I appreciate it.
All right, 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971. Is this happening in your backyard? You will be a criminal before you even know it. But keep remembering, they're the ones who like to celebrate diversity. They're the tolerant ones. As long as you're not a gun owner, then you're just fine. Keep it here. You're on 710 CAN-US. Call 303-696-1971. I'm John Caldera, in for George. George is off on, well, a tour. He's got a concert. He's got semi-trucks. He's filling stadiums. He's got the merchandise, the T-shirts. It's pretty impressive. But no, he will return. So thanks to Sherry Pipe at Complete Colorado to give us an update on all these local gun laws. They're popping up everywhere. Everywhere. And again, you can thank our governor, our libertarian governor. This is such Pontius Pilate crap that he is able to wash his hands and say, oh no, I'm pro-gun. I'm just letting localities be on anti-gun. Oh, he is Bloomberg's puppet when it comes to that. So let me add to that. Let me see if I can find this. Where is this story? Where? I had it here just a second ago. Oh, wait. I gotta keep going to these different places. New York State, since there was a shooting at the Tops supermarket, I forget where that was, in Buffalo. Well, they know how to handle the situation. The state legislature there has just passed a body armor ban. That is, if you are a civilian, you can't buy a bulletproof vest. Now, mind you, no vest is bulletproof. So only police can. This scares the hell out of me. So the people who run New York, not just the city, but the state, New York has some of the toughest anti-gun laws. It is very hard to protect yourself with a firearm in New York. So you can't protect yourself there. If you want to protect yourself by, I don't know, wearing a bulletproof or bullet-resistant vest, you can't do that either. They just passed a law so that only cops and other folks can get it. So if you're in the in crowd, if you're a first responder, yeah, you can get a bulletproof vest. You, however, you can't. Normal citizen can't. So you can't defend yourself with a gun, and you can't even hide behind something that might save your life. I want to hit this from two different directions. The first one seems pretty obvious, that we as human beings have an innate right to self-defense. A firearm is a defensive tool, but it can also be used as an offensive tool. We can agree, can't we? Whereas a bulletproof vest is only a defensive tool. Unless you take it and whack somebody with the vest, it really doesn't hurt anybody else. So a small percentage of mass shooters wear tactical gear and a bulletproof vest to protect them. Pretty scary stuff. So because bad guys do something to protect themselves from gunshots, we cannot. We can't buy that either. Be like saying, well, we can't lock our doors because some bad guys lock their doors. We can't have cars because some bad guys use cars in the commission of a crime. Therefore, nobody should have a gun or nobody should have a car. That's the first part of this. The second objection I have is a bit more sociological. It goes like this. Americans have a unique and overwhelmingly positive experience with law enforcement. Why? Because our law enforcement are our neighbors. They're not thugs. They take an oath to the Constitution, not to whoever dictator's in charge. They are there by law. And we have to have trust in them. But what happens? What happens when police officers get special rights outside of their job? What happens in the long term when we have civilians on one end and then people who are better armed who work for the government, but they're allowed to keep those arms? Here's exactly what I'm talking about. So in 2013, Colorado passed these just terrible, terrible gun laws, including a ban on anything more than 15 rounds of ammunition. Unless you're a cop. If you're a cop, you can personally own 17-round, 20-round, 100-round magazines, whatever it is you want. So if you're a police officer, then you get more freedom. You have more rights. Now with Kevlar, now with these bulletproof vests, you as a cop personally get to buy this stuff, but civilians can't. So not only do we turn the police into a military unit, but they become different than the people that they are there to protect. Extrapolate this over time. Yeah, it's not just that they get to have more rounds of ammunition in their magazine. It's very different. They get to have a privileged life with more tools of oppression than the civilians that empower them. They get to have protective gear. They get to have bulletproof vests. They get to have the helmets. They get to have the batons. They get to have all this stuff. And the people that they are there to serve have none, are not allowed to have those same basic tools of self-defense. I find that dangerous. Oh, not right now. No. It's not like the Army's going to take over, the police are going to take over, but as we give cops this military civilian equipment and deny it from civilians, extrapolate that over the next decade, the next century, what we end up having are two different classes of Americans. Americans who work for the state and are allowed in their private lives to have weapons and tactical gear, and civilians who in their private lives are not allowed to have this. If I could wave a magic wand on a gun reform, it would go like this. All gun laws apply equally to police and law enforcement when they're off duty. Let me say it again. All gun laws apply equally to all citizens when cops are off duty. That is, yeah, when you're at work, you can go ahead and have a Glock 17 with 17 rounds. You don't have to go find the 10-round magazine version of it if you're a cop. But when you go home at night, no, you can't have that. You're a civilian. When you retire or you quit, you can't keep it. You're a civilian. You can't have bulletproof vests if civilians are not allowed to have bulletproof vests. Sure, when you're on the job, you can grab your tool of your trade, which could include a bulletproof vest. But that's it. When the whistle blows, you're a civilian, and you must live by the same rules. We must have equal protection under the law. Otherwise, over time, we build a potential oppressor class. That is, we have cops who have tools that civilians aren't allowed to have. Over time, this is very dangerous. And overwhelmingly, beat cops are pro-gun. They don't mind civilians having guns. They understand it. That's where the trust that we have with law enforcement comes in. If we break that trust, if we break the trust we have with American law enforcement, we'll never get it back. Here's a way to break that trust. Give special rights to off-duty cops, but not off-duty citizens. So, do you ever think about buying a bulletproof vest? Have you? Do you really think it would stop a bullet? Why did you buy it? Was it just something cool to have, or do you think it's a good insurance policy to be able to have a vest that helps keep you alive in case things don't go well? 303-696-1971. That's 303-696-1971. In for George Brockler, I'm John Caldera. Keep it right here. You're on 710 KNUS. I'm John Caldera. Give me a call, 303-696-1971. The state of New York has just passed a law banning citizens from buying, well, body armor, bulletproof vests. You know, that tactical gear. Cops can still buy it. Cops can still keep it at home. They can buy it for personal use. I find this dangerous, really dangerous, when you start giving some American citizens more rights than other American citizens. But they're police officers. Yeah, when they're a police officer, that's fine. If the police department wants to have bulletproof vests or magazines with more than 10 rounds, great. But at the end of the day, when you go home, the civilian is still that cop. Inside that cop is a civilian, and he must live by the same rules that he enforces. So one of the reasons I find it dangerous, when police officers don't enforce the law on other police officers. Like when they pull somebody over for speeding and it's a cop. One cop flashes the badge to the other cop. There's, for the most part, with exceptions, you're just let off. I think that's dangerous and corrosive to a free society, because those who enforce our laws need to be held to the same laws. Oh, and by the way, individuals should be able to protect themselves. If you want to walk around and wear body armor because you're walking around Denver these days and you don't want to get knifed, you don't want to get shot, I can see somebody making a reasonable decision to wear some sort of bullet-resistant clothing. That's their choice. But apparently only bad guys do that. It is so insulting how little our lawmakers think these things through and how they are willing to throw law-abiding people under the bus for this illusion of safety that somehow it's going to stop bad guys from doing bad things. 303-696-1971. Let's go to the phones. Steve, welcome. You're with John Caldera. Glad to have you, Steve.
Hi. One other thing that hasn't been remembered is that sometimes parents buy a better grade of body armor for their children who are in the service than what the government purchases through government contracts. They
really?
Would be prevented from buying that better grade.
So, for instance, I've heard of guys in Iran and Iraq, or in Iraq and Afghanistan, and sometimes they would send home and buy their own Magpul magazines for their ARs or for their M16s, and because they liked the quality of those magazines better than the ones that were issued. Are you saying that the same thing happens to body armor for soldiers in the field?
Yes.
And so mom and dad will love their kid and go, yeah, I know the military issue body armor is this, but let's get Timmy this much better stuff.
That's correct.
Interesting. I never even thought about that.
So they would be prevented from buying that for their progeny.
Oh, how delightful. There's also kids, this was happening in the 70s, that some little kids would be sent to school and they had to walk by through neighborhoods where there were gang shootings, and they would wear a bulletproof vest. I could understand why a parent would do that. In the same way that kids are using little scooters and they wear helmets and knee pads, if you want them to walk through a dangerous neighborhood and wear a bulletproof vest, they ought to do that as well. What does a bulletproof vest cost? You seem like the kind of guy that would know.
They're usually over $100.
Okay.
But they can range upward from there.
Would you trust one?
Which level?
Which level? Like a true salesman. Hey, Steve, I got to run. Thanks for the call. 303-696-1971. I'm John Caldera. In for George. Keep it right here. 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.